Welcome to TJ Slideways Live, courtesy of racesontheweb.com. Here is your host, TJ Buffenbarger.
Thank you, Beth. Coming to you live from the Engine Pro Studios, just outside of Grand Rapids, Michigan. Another Monday night in studio after a great weekend of racing we just took in Ohio, and here to break it down with us. The Waynesfield and Eldora events, writer for hoseheads.com. You see his work all over the place. How many places, Dwayne Hancock, does your column appear in these days?
Well, that's a good question. It appears on Hoseheads, Pit Gate, sometimes on the Dirt Track Channel, just a little bit everywhere.
A little bit of everywhere for Dwayne Hancock. And we both were at a couple of pretty darn good races over the weekend. We went to, let's first start with Waynesfield on Friday. And I knew we were in for a wild show as soon as I went down to the infield and during non-wing hot laps. Consistently, cars were lifting the left rears off the ground about 6-8 inches going into the corner.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, it was one of the tackiest and fastest I've seen Waynesfield ever. And yeah, when it looks like a California racetrack, when they pull in, you can't even see the numbers on the cars because it's so muddy after hot laps. You know it's going to be a wild night.
And things got wild right off the bat. If you happen to be a Jackslash.com subscriber, go there and you'll see Jared Andretti's flip into the pit area. I mean, that's how the night started. Jared was quickest in hot laps, and unfortunately, that fast track bit him on Friday night.
Oh, yeah, he just biked going into the corner. You know, he was going in there in turn three, and it biked on him, and it was kind of weird because it biked, and I don't know if he tagged the throttle to try to get out of it, but it's like he just shot, I mean, out of a cannon right after he biked, and yeah, he didn't go over the fence. He went through the fence.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at that picture, it looks like he made a one through over the fence. Man, he just went right through that thing. It was very lucky that he didn't get injured in that deal. Pretty nasty crash, one of the nastiest I've seen at Waynesfield in a long time.
Yeah, that was a wild deal, and it also wrecked the team's Maxim because they had Mike Dutcher wrenching on the thing all weekend, and Dutcher's a big Maxim guy, and they had to go to the backup car on Saturday. We'll get to that in a moment. But the non-wing show, Dave Darlin, as we jokingly tweeted that the band got back together again. Jeff Walker and the team getting back together again, and they were spectacular on Saturday night.
Oh, yeah, that's the thing about Darlin. I mean, he gets back with Walker and does good, and that you don't give him second chances. I mean, Mike Miller, he came up through there, had the bottom working excellent, I mean, which was great because you could see how his right rear was working. I mean, just you could see the steam rolling off in the corners, and, you know, yellow, six to go. Darlin worked up from eighth and got his third one from third to first on the cushion while the other guy's running low. I mean, it. You know, him and Walker's pretty lethal combination when they do some visits together.
And Mike Miller had, and he's going to be on later in the program, but he had to be groaning when that caution came out late in the race there because he had that thing won. I don't think Darlin is going to catch him without that yellow.
No, I don't think so either. And to me, it was just amazing to watch how set up Mike Miller was on the bottom against, you know, like I said, heck, it was Darlin was there, Meserol, a bunch of you guys, and he's blowing by him on the bottom. That thing, I mean, it was pulling the front wheels off the ground, and I mean, it was just hooked up.
And he kind of came out of nowhere, too, in the middle of that race. He wasn't up front right away, and then all of a sudden, there he was on the bottom just driving by people, like you said.
Oh, yeah, I mean, and I sat over there in the pit stands, and just to see, you know, you can, if you've been to a race, you know, the fans can see the tires working, some steam rolling off of it, and, I mean, it just was rolling right off there. The tire was working perfect. I mean, they had that car perfectly set up on the bottom, and, yeah, then caution comes out, and he's got to be sitting there thinking, oh, man.
And he did his best to hold off Darlin, but, I mean, it's Dave Darlin, and the experience won out.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I mean, and that's the thing, you know, sometimes you hear it all the time, leading the race, sometimes the worst at the end, either on restarts or in lap traffic, because, you know, the bottom got you there, so, he, you know, Mike runs the bottom, and Dave he's not going to follow him. He'll do whatever he's got to do to try to go around, man. He just put her up on the cushion and let her eat and passed him.
And in the 360 event, it was a little bit of a dumpster fire. Actually, no, because a dumpster fire would have got us warmed up a little bit.
Well, that's for sure.
But it was a little chilly, but man, 10 out of 24 cars finished, and it was crazy what was going on in that 360 feature. It was like nobody wanted to win the thing.
Oh, I know it, and it was. I mean, it took like 48 minutes or something like that, and they just couldn't put two laps together for the first half of that thing if you paid them to. I mean, it was pretty wild, and I was kind of impressed. I mean, he ended up third, but I've never seen Mitch Brown out of Canada run, and I mean, the first eight laps, he gave those guys all they wanted.
Yeah, that kid's the real deal. And I was wondering how he would do, because he's raced away from Oshawegan a little bit, but primarily in Canada. And it was his first trip to Waynesfield. And man, he led a big chunk of that race, and he gave Hannigan all he wanted for the lead there for a little bit.
Oh, yeah, him and Hannigan and Wilson, too. I mean, he battled Wilson hard for a long time. And pretty funny. I talked to Randy Hannigan Saturday morning. We was doing some maintenance. I was helping Chad Wilson and Chuck there a little bit on the cars, and he came over to the car wash just to talk to us, and I was asking about it, and he goes, yeah, exactly what you said. He goes, man, he says, that kid's good. He says, they're a great family. He says, they're kind of quiet and shy a little bit, but he says, man, he says he kind of gave him some pointers a little bit, and he says, then he about beats me.
Yeah, that's about right. And just so fans know, Mitch is actually going to Devil's Bowl this weekend to run with the ASTS National Tour, so you'll see him there, and he's going to Little Rock for the Short Track Nationals. So they're going to do some traveling at the end of the year, and actually Mitch indicated to us on Saturday that they're going to travel more on Saturdays next year. Oshawegan's still going to be the focus because they're from Brantford, which is right down the road from Oshawegan, but on Saturday nights, man, you're going to see Mitch Brown maybe traveled a little bit. So I think fans will get more of a chance to see him. And Randy Hannigan, what more can we say about him? He has just been dominating the 360 class wherever he went, and that was the case again on Saturday at Waynesfield.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he said it's kind of survival of the fittest there for that race. But Hannigan, I mean, ever since he's got, with Yoakum, with Dennis Yoakum, that team, it's just, we talked about Darlin and Walker being together, reuniting, and, doing good, but I tell you, ever since Hannigan's happy there, and I mean, they just dominate the 360 stuff whenever they're around.
One thing I learned over the weekend is that car they destroyed at Berlin was the same car he had run the entire time he was with Dennis, and that's going on like 2 or 3 years with that same race car, and they put a brand new one together and ended up with two victories on the weekend. Stark contrast, though, we had all the cautions on Friday night, but on Saturday at Eldora, we saw an NRA feature that went green to checkered, no cautions once again, and that's becoming kind of a trademark of that group at Eldora.
Oh, yeah, I tell you what, the 360s put on a great show at Eldora every time they're there, and, like I said, Hannigan's tough there, and tell you, he got challenged old Butch Schrader. He always runs good there, and is it something about Eldora, how they got to work in and out of traffic and that? And I don't know if it's just the style of track with those guys. Yeah, because a lot of times go caution free there.
And it would, that race went green to checker, but a caution in the last five laps there could have made that thing real interesting because Butch really never let Hannigan get away from him, and Daggett was coming too.
No, exactly. I mean, usually when Henry and Hannigan gets in the lead, you're like, oh man, here you go, it's going to be over, there's not going to be any challenge. But Butch never left him. I mean, Butch gave him a run the whole race, in and out of traffic there. I mean, he never got real far behind him. Yeah, and Daggett, he was coming from the deeper in the pack. And what about interesting, like I said, with the caution, I mean, Daggett's always tough whenever he's around too, and that could have been a real shootout.
And speaking of guys that you see get the lead and go, now this thing is over, Dale Blaney's in the lead on Saturday night, but here comes Rico Abreu. And I was just dumbfounded at the drive that Rico made. And he had kind of a rough four crown weekend, getting upside down in the same spot 2 days in a row. Well, over two consecutive days, Saturday and Sunday. But he got upside down Friday, got upside down on the midget, bounces back, runs down Dale Blaney in traffic to win an all-star race. And that move at the end of the race in particular, where he went three wide in traffic to hold off Blaney, there was a little bit of contact with him and DJ Foose. But, I mean, what a move. What an incredible drive by Rico.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, shoot, everybody seeing Blaney starting on the pole. I mean, you wouldn't believe how many people are like, well, okay, this one's over. And, you know, and Hannigan, he was running tough, you know, and that Neumeister's car. But, yeah, Rico, I tell you what, Lord, he runs good up there. And I kept saying it too. I mean, man, I hope he keeps it out of fence. But one and two, certain guys, if they run the groove, I mean, but it's inches. I mean, you're running the high side, you got your right rear about 2 inches off that wall. But if you can do that and keep it straight, it's the fastest groove on the track. And that's what how Rico ran him down. I mean, in 3 and 4, he wasn't as good. But 1 and 2, I mean, he would close, you know, instantly on him.
And I think, personally, this is not the last we're going to see of Rico in a winged sprint car in Victory Lane at Eldora. I think the track itself really lends itself to his driving style, his very aggressive style, because there in traffic, you cannot, I mean, generally you can't hesitate anyway in sprint cars and lap traffic, but especially there with the momentum. And needless to say, he doesn't hesitate in lap traffic. He just drives by them.
Oh, yeah, like you said, that move and lap time, I mean, yeah, it's either slid or be slid pretty much at Eldora when it's aggressive like that. And, yeah, Rico, that move he did make in traffic, you know, he kind of apologized to Philo, but, you know, and you're leading the race, and like you said, he goes, I'm sorry, I got a little excited. I mean, that's what's great about him. I mean, the fans respond to him and cheer him on, and he gets excited. And I think one thing from the four crowd where he had some bad luck, hit the wall in the same spot than this, and he kind of touched on it, is he used a little more patience, and that's his deal. He's always on the go pedal hard, and if you notice, he hasn't tore up as much as, you know, later in the season. I think he's learning that patience he needs a little bit, and boy, it's showing. I mean, you won in Illinois Friday night, then one back it up the road coming to Eldora, one in there Saturday.
And another thing is, we always hear time and again, these mechanics, the well-known ones like Coons and stuff, they always say they'd rather be able to have to rein a guy in a little bit than have to push him. And you definitely have to push Mr. Aber, who will actually join us next Monday night. He had commitments this week, but we've got him lined up for next week, so we'll have Rico on next week's podcast. But, yeah, it was a good all-star program. I thought the car count was solid, and that Harvest of Sprints weekend, along with the UNOH Sprintacular, that's becoming a must-see weekend to me. I think this year kind of solidified that when you see the big car counts both nights and the quality of racing in all three classes.
Oh, exactly. You hit the nail right in the head there. I mean, and for $20 at Eldora, you know, I mean, you go there, there's 53 non-wing cars, 36 all-stars, and 24 NRA 360s. It was a $20 bill to get in, and same thing as Waynesfield. You had 44, you know, non-wing cars, you had 25 360s, and the mini sprinters there had a good field. It's a great weekend. I think, you know, everybody used this year, I think, as a test, because, you know, last year when the big car counts was there, like, oh, okay, you know, this is just a, you know, one-year deal, we'll see what happens this year. And, they backed it up with same or better car count and just as good as a race. I mean, this is definitely a thing I hope keeps going. I love end of the year races, and especially in my area. And I'll tell you what, I hope this keeps growing and growing and turns into something really special.
And another neat thing about it, you know, you have all three classes there. 6 o'clock start time. We were out of there before 10 o'clock with three sprint car classes, and it wasn't exactly a fast show. I mean, they had to make fence repairs, and we had a couple different delays, so I mean, it wasn't exactly like it was a smooth flowing show either. We were still out of there in 3.5 hours.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and that's one thing that they've been doing this year, especially at Eldora, is pushing it along. I was there the weekend before when they had 95 modifieds and 43 late miles, same deal. Started at 6 o'clock and we was out of there at 9:45, just like this week. I mean, and like I said, I mean, they had some issues, you know, had to repair the fence, and they didn't, you know, like rush the deal, but they just moved along nicely, and that shows you how few of caution flags in that there was, too. I mean, it was just great racing, and great program moved along, and I really think this is going to be, like I said, a must-see deal for years to come at the Waynesfield and Eldora.
And the Boss Sprint cars, once again, over 50 cars. It just seems like an event that a lot of grassroots racers want to be a part of. And you got to see a new combination with Thomas Meserol with his new team with the Keene family going in there and running well on Saturday, winning the feature. And you got to love Timez when he's in victory lane. It might have been the best victory lane interview I've heard all year.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, they ran their Friday night at Waynesfield, did pretty decent, and Saturday night did really well, you know. And Team Mez, he's another guy that's not afraid of the throttle. You know, he runs it right up. That when he was fighting there, up front there, it was amazing. I mean, coming off turn four, he was running there about an inch and a half off the wall. Actually, on the last lap in the middle of frame four, he actually brushed the wall. I mean, he's another gasser that runs it right up there, and that could be a pretty good combination.
Yeah, and on Friday night, too, first lap of hot laps, I'm shooting in turn one. All of a sudden, I see T-Meds go by. He has that thing hung out Ascot style in turn one, looking out the right side. Everyone else got kicking it easy because it has that little spot where they're picking up the left rear. Here comes T-Meds, full throttle, looking right at me, eye to eye. That was an eye-opening experience, to say the least, at that place. And it was pretty fun to watch him on Saturday. And it's just a neat race. And I try to tell people, if you haven't been to Eldora, it's a good weekend to go because it's not a Kings Royal-sized crowd, so you don't have to fight 20,000 plus people to get around the place. And you can kind of look around, kind of get some different angles, and to get to see non-winged and winged sprint cars on the same program.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And, you know, that's one thing about that. I mean, for the program it is, the crowd is not that big, and it's a great time to go down there, especially somebody new to sprint car racing. There's a girl came along with the Wilsons, come down to watch them race this weekend. Never been to Eldora, was a big late model fan, and only been to like one or two sprint car races in her life. And she was like, man, this is cool down here, you know? So it's a good time to showcase the place for, people sometimes that haven't even been to a race or a sprint car race too, or like I said, see, best of both worlds, the wings and the non-wings.
We've talked about the winners and Mitch Brown, a couple of the other surprises. Who are a couple of the other standout performers other than the winners and Brown and a couple of the other people we talked about?
Oh, I think, I was kind of thought DJ Foose. I mean, he runs Attica Fremont, hasn't been out too much. And, you know, yeah, it wasn't a spectacular, run, but it was decent and very respectable. 11th place run for DJ running Eldora is, to me, that's a surprising. Chris Andrews, driving Craig Mintz's car, in a rare appearance. Craig, had some other commitments and they wanted to go to Eldora, and Chris Andrews was our charger. I mean, he started, deep in the pack and ended up, just started 22nd, ended up 7th. I thought that was impressive.
A special shout out, too, to the 53 team, the Fox brothers, and the 18 team, with Ian Madsen. Both those guys tore up cars at Lincoln, Illinois on Friday night, and those teams thrashed. That's a 7-hour drive to Eldora. Had to fix race cars. In the 18's case, they brought out a backup car, get that ready, and get to Eldora and race for an early start. I thought that was an impressive effort by both those groups.
Oh, yeah, and that was another guy on my radar. There was Ian Madsen. He runs out Knoxville's track champ and runs it. Hasn't been to Eldora that much, and came in there, and so I heard tore up car the night before, and he actually was one of the last guys there, and gets a top five finish out of the deal, which is pretty good. And I think Taylor Fern, she made the A-Main. It was All-Stars after tearing it up on Friday night. I mean,
in a big way, too.
Good run for her, too.
Yeah, that was a big crash on Friday on a brand-new race car, and I still think they're picking parts of that out in the cornfield somewhere. I mean, that was a hard ride, and she came back to put that thing in the show on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it was. I mean, she she went for a wild one. And yeah, I mean, she's come back, and it wasn't an easy field to make, especially at Eldora. And, you know, and Tyler Courtney's another one. He's mainly a non-wing guy. He's only got, I think that was his 13th wing start ever, and driving for Danny Smith, and he put it in the A-main.
Another low block team that kind of caught my eye was Travis Berryhill in the cleverly numbered 401k car with the dollar bills on it, all over it. And he actually looked tough on Friday. They had some motor issues on Saturday, but he was starting to make his way towards the front before the motor went sour on Saturday as well. So good run by him.
Yeah, he, every time I see him run this year, it seems like they start off having problems, and then he comes charging through the pack just like there this weekend. And, you know, I was kind of impressed with Bill Rose in the 320 car. That's another low-budget car, a car he's not used to running. And, you know, he started, he got a top 10 finish in the car that don't make a lot of A-mains.
And if you're Justin Grant, you might want to find something to change your luck, because I couldn't believe the luck that 40 team had. I think they tore up two cars on Friday night, both Harry and Grant getting torn up, and then Grant got hit the wall again on Saturday, so a tough weekend for the Harry team.
Oh, yeah, and that car was destroyed Friday night. I mean, you know, usually you see the chassis twisted or, you know, a bar out of the way. But that thing, the right side of it was totally destroyed. The left side of it was totally destroyed. I mean, there wasn't hardly a straight bar on that car. I mean, they couldn't even clip it. I mean, that car was just junk. I mean, that one, there's nothing saving, no front clipping it or anything after Friday night. So, yeah, he definitely had a lot of bad luck, and he's one of the fastest guys both nights, and end up crashing both nights.
And we mentioned Jared Andretti before. I think he's a glutton for punishment, man. He crashes at the forecrown of the heat race, gets in the backup car for the B main, then turn around this weekend, takes it ballpark at Waynesfield, and then comes back on Saturday. Unfortunately, they had mechanical problems. He looked good at the initial start, but whatever mechanically went wrong, he went backwards and soon brought out a caution coming to a stop. But, man, I hope that kid gets a win soon. But, man, sometimes he's a glutton for punishment for sure.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely tore up some stuff. I mean, like I said, two bad crashes at forecrown. I mean, heck, that car broke in two. I mean, it broke off its firewall, and then Friday night there, I mean, destroyed that car, bent the chassis, you know. I mean, yeah, he's definitely seen take some wild ones this year, and hopefully he gets maybe some of that patience that Rico has found. And I mean, because he's fast. There's definitely no doubt he's fast, and he's been pulling the backup cars out for the next night, so hopefully gets to the point where he can keep the same car for a while.
Yeah, and I think if Dutcher keeps wrenching for him a little bit, that patience will come. You'll have someone good coaching him. Well, Dwayne, it was great to break it down with you this weekend as our season around here starts winding down, and make sure to read his Tri-State Outlook and various publications, and hopefully get to do this again soon.
Oh, yeah, it's a pleasure. Thanks for having me on. Been listening to your podcast some, and I tell you what, it's a great program you have there, and thanks for inviting me to come on tonight. It was a real pleasure.
All right, Dwayne Hancock from HostHeads.com, Tri-State Outlook, and various other outlets. We're going to take a commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to have Mike Miller on, your 2014 Buckeye Outlaw Sprint Series champion.
You're listening to TJ Slideways Live on RacesOnTheWeb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
All-Star Performance is a manufacturer and supplier of racing and high-performance auto parts, accessories, and specialty tools. From quarter midgets to sprint cars, All-Star Performance has all of the accessories you need. To find a dealer near you, visit allstarperformance.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
Blade Shock Technology is a cutting-edge shock bump-stop technology company located in Northwest Ohio. Specializing in sprint car racing, new and used sales, service, and repair, Eric Slade and his crew have over 30 years' experience working with shocks, from the short tracks to the super speedways. For more information, visit SladeShockTechnology.com. Slade Shock Technology, where knowledge and experience make the difference.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing in racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air. As Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth, watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rocket around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
Welcome back to TJ Sideways Live here on racesontheweb.com. Our next guest is the 2014 Buckeye Outlaw Sprint Series champion, and that came right down to the final lap on Saturday night before Mike Miller could claim the championship. Mike, thanks for taking time out to join us, and congratulations.
Hey, thank you. It's great to be on the air with you.
First of all, this is kind of interesting because when I first met you is when I was starting to go to Gas City, and you were starting to get into the non-wing racing going to Gas City. And I found it ironic that it was you and Dustin Smith racing for that championship on Saturday night. Both guys I used to run into every Friday night at Gas City.
Yeah, I mean, me and Dustin have been racing, you know, ever since I started running the non-wing stuff back in 2001. And we ran Gas City quite a bit. He didn't make it to Lawrenceburg as much as I did, but he ended up at Kokomo more than I did. So we've been racing a long time.
Yes, you have. And like you said, it came right down to the final lap on Saturday. And the way that thing lined up, neither one of you were near the front of the pack in this thing starting, but you both made your way up, especially you. You kind of came out of nowhere on Saturday.
I've been there three times this year prior for test and tune. I've really been struggling at Eldora here lately, and got a new car, that Triple X, last year. I worked with it really, really hard, you know, last year and all of this year, and we're getting closer. I'm not satisfied with the way the car's working yet, but we'll keep working on it and hopefully get it better.
And when it comes to the Boss Series, I was kind of looking back, and you went at Raceway 7, and you had several top three, top five runs, but there were nights where some of those runs you might have ended up there, but you definitely didn't start there just due to the amount of cars they get. You were in the B main quite a bit. It definitely wasn't easy. What makes that series so difficult like that, to where you could be one night up front, but the next night you're in the middle of the B main?
Those guys are getting tougher every race. I mean, Mount Pilliard, I can remember Spithettler driving by John Stambrough, and this past Friday, I was out running Dave Darling there for a while. You know, we're just all of us are getting used to running with each other, and we're running these multi-different tracks a lot like USAC is, and I think all of us are getting real good ideas on setups on different racetracks and adapting really quick.
Mike Miller joining us here on the line, and that's one unique thing about the Boss Series, I think, is you guys go to a lot of different places that probably you have only seen maybe once or twice. How do you approach going to those different racetracks?
You know, it's weird. I start out with the same setup all the time, but it's, you know, when I ran the local tracks, it seems like I got into a routine, and I'm kind of in the same routine, but I'm more in tune with what the car is running all these different tracks, and you have no idea what to expect when you run these different racetracks. So I guess you really can't get into running a single groove all the time. You're actually moving around and finding where the car works the best on the racetrack, and I think that's what makes a lot of us better.
And one place that I hadn't gotten to see you yet, even though it was on a Boss event, was Friday at Waynesfield. I hadn't seen you run Waynesfield Raceway Park, and I know it's a grueling drive to get there for you. I made it on Friday, too, all of about 10 minutes. First off, how nice is it to have some place like that in your backyard you can rely on to go racing at? And, man, you've got that place just figured out. What have you found there that's working for you?
I'm not sure. This car, you know, we've been running the J&Js for years. I've never owned anything but a J&J. And, you know, we got a Triple X this year, and this car just fits me. And I don't know. It just fits my driving style. I don't know if it's – I was really, really good at Lawrenceburg back in the 2000, the 2006 time on the small track. And it's they're real close to the same style racetrack.
And it, one thing that surprises me is how fast that place is. Even for non-wing cars, you look at it and you go, it's kind of small, but man, cars just zing around that place.
Yeah, I can remember running Gas City, and Gas City, it was flat on the floor. You know, I remember talking to John Wolf one time, and he was trying to help me qualify, and he literally looked at me and said, Mike, you can flat foot. And I'm like, nah, I was told you couldn't. You had to burp it. And he says, nope. You can flat foot around here, and I learned how to do that. And this is the first year that I have been capable of being able to flat foot around Waynesfield and Eldora, for that matter. So, you know, the confidence level and knowing that the car is going to do what it wants, you know, what you want it to do is phenomenal.
You mentioned that you'd been a J&J guy basically your whole career, and then you switched chassis. When you're into one brand parts-wise and setup-wise and even service-wise, how difficult is it to make that switch?
You know, my J&J's got 2-inch splits on the torsion arms, and this is 1¾-inch, the first car I've ever done that was like that. So, you know, there's really minimal change as far as bars and arms and stuff like that. Everything's about the same. It's just for some reason this car felt comfortable from the get-go, so I don't know.
So mentally it wasn't that much of a challenge to make the switch, like, oh, I don't know if I want to do this then.
You know, I contemplated on that a long time. You know, the DRCs were really, really fast in the non-wing world, and so the Maxims, I was looking for those, and Steve Irwin, a buddy of mine up in Michigan, He had this car sitting there, and he gave me the opportunity, you know, he had it, and he says, hey, why don't you try this one? And I thought about it for 2 or 3 weeks, and next thing you know, I bought it, and, I told him when I bought it that I'd probably make him pay, that I bought it, you know, from him, that he didn't keep it for himself, and, I think it's coming true. So
I think you're right there. Steve's been on the show several times. Mike Miller joining us. Well, you started in the Wing 360 class, and then you went non-wing racing for a while. Then you went back to doing the wing stuff again, and now you're back into the non-wing stuff. Is there either one you prefer or the other? Do you like doing both, or what's your preference there?
You know, I really like the wing world, and you know, they're both different animals for sure. It's just, I was running the wing stuff, and we was afraid to go non-wing, and we had some issues back in 2000, and we went ahead and tried the non-wing stuff, and for some reason, the non-wing just fit my driving style, and we did really well, and then I think, you know, Dad got tired of traveling so much, and we was traveling an hour and a half to Gas City every Friday, and driving the 2-hour trip to Lawrenceburg every Saturday, and it just got to the point where it was getting grueling, and we decided to step back and come back home and, drive the 15 minutes to Lima and 10 minutes to Waynesfield. And then I blew my motor up, and once I blew the motor up, I went back to non-wing, and I'm starting to have fun again. I was getting to the point where I wasn't having fun, and now I'm having fun, so, and I think that's what it's all about, especially with money we're spending these days.
And to win this championship, traveling to new racetracks and stuff, what does this mean to you?
Huh. Yeah, I think this means more to me than the Lawrenceburg Track Championship I had in 2002, and I had the Waynesfield Track Championship and the 360 wing cars in 2008, almost won Lima Land the same year. And this one's really special. With everybody that's been on my Twitter pages and on my Facebook, I've been overwhelmed by the fans that have been following me. This one was an emotional one for sure for me.
So you have a Boss Championship now. You have a Lawrenceburg Championship. You've had success with the wing cars. What's next? What's next for Mike Miller?
I don't know. I'm having so much fun, running with Aaron Fry and all the guys with Smith and Fish Chester and Spitheller and the Middalls and all those guys. I want to stay in and have fun. I'm 43 years old and I'm getting to the end of my career and I want to win as much as I can. And the Boss teams would be doing well for me and I'm really loving Waynesfield too. So I'm not sure what I'm going to do next year, but, as of right now, I think we might do the Boss deal next year. We'll just have to see how the financial stuff comes out here this winter.
And speaking of those financial things, I'm sure you have some people to thank as well.
Oh, yeah. I got, Cooks Heating and Plumbing. They've been with me for the 15-year career that I've been running. I'm drawing blanks in my head. Schaefer Oil, they're there. Bewley Well Drilling. Gas from Gas Masonry Restorations. I have several fans that this year, especially, I've had some photographers and stuff walked up and hand me $100 bills and hand me money to go out and buy tire right rears and stuff. I've had a lot of fans come up and help me out and give me money. So I'm been overwhelmed with a lot of help this year.
And you forgot one. Don't forget the obvious one.
My wife.
Ding, yes.
Yeah. Safe. You guys ran into each other, and that's probably the first time you guys saw each other in a long time.
I was going to say, you and her and the kid. I didn't see her with the kids this time, but it was like, I'm like, Mike, don't forget her. Don't forget her.
Yeah.
It's like, I always joke, one guy forgets to thank his wife on here, he has never heard the end of it. So we always, Well, Mike, congratulations. We go way back, so it was really neat to see you win that championship, and hopefully we get to see a repeat next year.
Yeah, that would be great. Hopefully, we can do stuff financially and put another year together in 2015.
All righty. Mike Miller, your 2014 Buckeye Outlaw Sprint Series champion. When we come back, we'll have more with TJ Slideways Live.
You're listening to TJ Slideways Live on racesontheweb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at enginepro.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
All-Star Performance is a manufacturer and supplier of racing and high-performance auto parts, accessories, and specialty tools. From quarter midgets to sprint cars, All-Star Performance has all of the accessories you need. To find a dealer near you, visit allstarperformance.com. www.NationsLeadingSpecialtyEngineParts.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
Blade Shock Technology is a cutting-edge shock bump stop technology company located in Northwest Ohio. Specializing in sprint car racing, new and used sales, service, and repair, Eric Slade and his crew have over 30 years experience working with shocks, from the short tracks to the super speedways. For more information, visit SladeShockTechnology.com. Slade Shock Technology, where knowledge and experience make the difference.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing in racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air. As Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth, watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rocket around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at EngineProParts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
You're listening to TJ Flyway Live on RacesOnTheWeb.com.
Back from another commercial break, and joining us is a gentleman whose series he represents had some big news over the weekend. Jeremy Standridge from the MOA series, the Midwest Open Wheel Association. And Jeremy, over the weekend, you guys announced a new title sponsor.
Yeah, Neil Tire and Auto Service became on board as new title sponsor for MOA, and we're real excited and looking forward to what we can provide for them and back to our roots with our fans for an exciting 2015 year.
Now, the Neil Tire people, are they people that have been involved with the series before, or is this a company that's new to sprint car racing?
Well, they actually sponsored a little 305 series around Central Illinois, around Lincoln, Jacksonville, Quincy area, and they kind of liked it and saw that the MOA series really works and fits with their geographic region. So they wanted to take a chance with us, and I'm hoping we can go up and beyond what they expect. And this is not only going to help out our series, but it's going to be a big deal and something we can give back to more to our fans like we did our first year.
And just so we're clear, too, your existing title sponsor, Casey's General Stores, is still going to be involved with the series as well.
Oh, yeah. Casey's is still going to be a part of the MOA series. We're going to Neil Tire is going to be the title sponsor, and we're just going to be the Neil Tire MOA Sprint Car Series presented by Casey's General Stores. Casey's still going to be involved, but as usual, they're involved in sprint car racing generally, you see them on all kinds of sprint cars, Knoxville, Brian Brown, of course. But, you know, really great, I think, for the whole sprint car industry to have someone like Casey's. And we're glad that they decided to stay on board with us as well.
Now, I know you're a part of a group effort that helps run the MOA series, but I have to take my hat off to you guys. To create something out of nothing, essentially, with this series. I mean, there was a sprint car, you know, culture there, but to round it up like you have and create a series with the momentum you guys have built over just a handful of seasons, I think is remarkable. So kudos to you guys.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, it's definitely been a group effort. A lot of the drivers get together. There's a big core drivers that definitely stick out and help us out. And then the promoters of Jacksonville and Lincoln and Quincy, Illinois, Siltrek, Ken Dobson, Tommy Casson, and Michael Clinette group, they stepped in to help us out, and they've made a big impact. And really, with them coming on board, has taken a lot off of me because they've helped run stuff a bit more. So when it comes down time to it, especially on race days, I can be a race car driver instead of being the president and really concentrate on race car myself.
Are you surprised at times the attention the series has gotten in such a small period from almost nationwide, it seems like?
Yeah, I'm ecstatic. I mean, I would have never dreamed that the series has gotten the publicity that we have. I mean, you know, our final two races this last weekend at Lincoln, Illinois, we had 41 cars. You know, and you had Christopher Bell, Rick Labrew, Terry McCarl, Ian Madsen. You know, you got a tough group of cars. And then you put that along with our tough local guys. Jared Hull, our season champion, once again, he is so consistent, so tough. A.J. Brun, young Paul Nienheiser. You know, we got a great group core of drivers, and it's tough. It's a tough series, and I think that's what attracts a lot of the drivers to come and run because, you know, you may get some of these big guys, but I don't think it's, you know, we've had Danny Smith, all those guys. It's not a cherry-picked type of series, which I don't think anymore any 14 series is a cherry-picking type of series. You go and race a 410 sprint car anywhere across the Midwest, out west, anywhere, and it's everyone's on their game, and it's a tough anywhere you go.
You're from a sprint car racing family, and right now we hear nationwide, we hear Raceiver, Save, all these budget classes, crate classes springing up, yet we see 410 racing with a little bit of resurgence. We see a group like MOA, IRA's got strong car counts, Northern Ohio. Places that have 410 racing seems to be going pretty well, as long as it's run halfway decent. So why in this era where we see all these crate engines and 305 showing up, do you think 410 racing is doing so well?
You know, I don't know if I can really answer that. I mean, I'll be the first one to admit it's tough, and no matter what it is, and I don't know if, you know, I like the Raceiver series and stuff, but let's be honest. I mean, you know, it don't matter what type of car racing, you can put any kind of set of rules in there, but when it comes to engines and horsepower and that, the competition, the competitive edge in every driver and every team, if they can find a way to produce more horsepower or lose more weight within reason, they're going to find a way to do it. That's just the competitive edge in every driver and team.
Yeah, I always joke, if there's money to be spent, they're going to find a place to spend it.
That's right. I mean, you're still going to have your teams that's going to buy a brand new tire every night. You're still going to have your teams that's on a more of a budget. It's going to try to make that tire last two or three nights. You know, it's been like that part of racing for as long as I can remember, and I don't really see that changing much.
And plus, whenever I see these race saving divisions, I don't ever see the purse stay the same either. So I mean, it's amazing how that happens. We're going to save you money, but we're going to pay you a third of what you're running for before. But that's a different topic for a different day. So Jeremy Standage, joining us on the line here. Like I said, where do we see MOA going in the future? There may be some different venues. Are you guys going to be just sticking around where you have been for 2015?
Well, we're probably going to stick more closer to home still and stay with where we're at. I still like to do the trip once, twice a year. and try to go to a new venue. We actually got a couple new venues in Illinois that we're going to be new tracks that we're going to be going into for 2015, and possibly looking into maybe a new venue in Indiana. Would love to venture out to some new tracks. It's just tough with the drivers that, you know, that go around. It's tough to travel for a lot of our guys, go 5-6 hours. And I know ASCS does it, All-Stars, World Outlaws. But it's tough for your average local racer to do that. So we're going to try to stick. We found out that, you know, we're going to stick with our core group of tracks and geographic region. And, you know, we may venture out a little bit next year, but we'll just have to play that by ear.
Even though you are a racer yourself and you know what it takes to run a race car and a race team and whatnot, is it hard sometimes to temper that with the series when you're hot and in demand like that to not overstretch the race teams a little bit?
It is. We go and we go to like Hopstot, and some of those trips were even tough on me. But at the same time, you're only going to get better by going to different venues. You're not going to get any good. You're not going to do the same racing at the same track week in and week out. That's just my opinion. You're going to get guys who are going to be good at that, but I think the better drivers are the guys that can go to every track and adapt to the different conditions, different size tracks, and be more rounded. And I think those are the type of drivers you see really shine and rise to the top.
Jeremy Standridge joining us on TJ Sideways Live. Let's take the MOA hat off for a second. Let's put the helmet on. And how was your 2014 season behind the wheel?
We had an up and down season. We started out really strong. Had some races, won some dash, won some heat races. Towards the end, we started having some bad luck with the engine. The engine started getting a little weak, I think, and money started getting tight. But overall, I'd say it was a decent season. We finished seventh with the MOA Series, and we just look, as long as I can constantly improve and know what we did wrong and improve on that every week, we're going to get better. So my goal for next year is definitely be top five in points. We were seventh this year. We were eighth last year. So we're climbing the ladder. And, I can't thank my sponsors, my parents, my grandparents, everyone that puts in every bit of dime of money, all to help my brother, my dad, everyone that does. I mean, it takes a group effort to make all this work. And everyone knows when you're a family team, you don't have the big corporate sponsorship. It takes everyone's part to do their job and make it successful.
And that's one thing I want to ask you is we often talk to people that are second and third generation drivers, but literally your whole family is into this thing about as much as they can be. What's the biggest advantage when you come from a racing family like that? And what do you feel is the biggest disadvantage to having like everyone else tell you how you should drive the race car and such?
Well, the advantage definitely is the experience. I mean, me being third generation, my grandfather drove in the 50s. At one time, you had my dad and his three brothers and my grandfather all on the track at the same time. So you had five Staringes on the track racing at the same time. So the experience that you had behind that, plus, I grew up at the racetrack. So I was in the pits working on the cars when I was 8 years old. So I learned how to work on myself. And seeing what my dad did on the track and learned, how the car reacts and doing that. The disadvantage of that is there's a lot of expectation upon you with that name, for all the success that they've had throughout the years to rise to just as good as they are. And trust me, I respect my dad and my uncles, all they did for all those years. But, I don't know, maybe things are changed. I think I need to do better, but I know engines have increased, horsepower's increased since then. Everything has just changed. The way things are with computerized technology and the shocks and the engine combination and everything, it's a whole different ballgame than it was back in the 80s and 90s. And so it's a constant learning tool as well, but it keeps you on your toes.
Well, Jeremy, I really appreciate you taking time out to join us as a series employee and race car driver. It's always neat we can get that twofering. Keep on doing a great job down there. I really admire what's going on with the MOA series and look forward to seeing what you guys have in store with that for 2015, also with your race team as well.
Thanks, TJ. Appreciate all the things you guys do, and keep up the great work.
All right. Thank you. Jeremy Standridge, we're going to take a commercial break, and then we're going to wrap up this edition of TJ Slideways Live.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at enginepro.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
All-Star Performance is a manufacturer and supplier of racing and high-performance auto parts, accessories, and specialty tools. From quarter midgets to sprint cars, All-Star Performance has all of the accessories you need. To find a dealer near you, visit allstarperformance.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com. The National Sprint Car Hall of
Blade Shock Technology is a cutting-edge shock bump stop technology company located in Northwest Ohio. Specializing in sprint car racing, new and used sales, service, and repair, Eric Slade and his crew have over 30 years' experience working with shocks, from the short tracks to the super speedways. For more information, visit SladeShockTechnology.com. Slade Shock Technology, where knowledge and experience make the difference.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing in racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air as Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth. Watch as the most daring lead folks in the land stand on the gas and rock it around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
You're listening to TJ Slideways Live on RacesOnTheWeb.com.
Wrapping up another Monday night here in the Engine Pro Studios. Race fans, don't forget that on December 26th, 27th, and 28th, the Rumble in Fort Wayne returns with three nights of racing action. Three nights at the newly renovated Fort Wayne War Memorial Coliseum Exposition Center. And Folks, I think you're going to want to check this out. Three big nights of midget racing. It'll be an awesome event. Tony Barhorst and his crew always do a phenomenal job over there. It's like a little racing reunion. You get to visit with all your friends and stuff. And you get to see racers from quarter midgets to midgets. So you get the whole gamut. Multiple classes of 600s. More carts than you can shake a stick at. It's like going to the dealer's choice indoors. It's pretty neat. The Rumble in the Expo. 3 days this year. July 26th. 27th and the 28th. Of course, we want to thank all of our guests, Dwayne Hancock, for helping me break down the Ohio weekend. Mike Miller, your 2014 Boss Champion, and Jeremy Standridge from the MOA series. I can't say enough about that group. I was just telling him, I wish we had a 410 series up here that was built like that series is, and it's a really neat deal for him. Have to give a shout out to Lee Jacobs, who got injured on Saturday night at Eldora Speedway. I didn't see the incident happen because for some reason, whenever it gets hurt, it always happens in my blind spot, which is probably a good thing. It happened again on Saturday night. I didn't notice Lee in the incident even until he was laying on the ground. Unfortunately, fractured two vertebrae, so he's going to be on the shelf for a little bit. And it's sad because he had such a phenomenal year. I mean, it was great to see how well that family-owned team he was running for was doing. Just a little operation compared to a lot of the other ones, but did a great job. And I think it showed Lee's maturity as a driver over the past few years. And I feel bad for him and his family and all the students. He's a school teacher by trade, so I imagine this is hard for his students as well. So, Lee, hope you get better soon, bud, and we'll see you at the track sooner than later. And I want to thank for this weekend Ron Hammonds, his crew, everyone over at Waynesfield Raceway Park. They once again rolled out the red carpet for us, just like they did on July 3rd. Had a great time over there. And of course, Larry Bowes, Roger Slack, Jonathan Bateman, Chad Schmidtmeyer, everyone over at Eldora Speedway. Thank you, thank you, thank you for everything you did for us this year. Eldora is such a cornerstone to what we do here on TJSlideways.com because all the major series come through there. And it's reasonable distance for us to travel and cover and to be able to have something, a track like that that has events like the Sprintacular, the King's Royal, the Four Crown, the World of Outlaws, that close is just a wonderful thing for us to be able to cover on a fairly regular basis. So thank you again for all of your help. And thank you for listening this past season. We're far from done. We're going to be parading champions through here as the offseason draws closer. And we still have Trophy Cup coming up this week. We have the World Finals, the Short Track Nationals, the Parasolva Nationals, Turkey Night. And, you know, there's a whole host of Australian and New Zealand racing to talk about, too. But as the season dies down, we're going to be parading champions through here left and right. We're going to throw our getting close to 20 years. In a couple of years, we'll be on the 20th year of TJSlideways.com. We're going to throw that experience around a little bit and get some people in here for you to listen to that won championships throughout the off season. But for now, we're going to wrap up this edition of TJ Slideways Live. We do this every Monday night live on racesontheweb.com at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern. Or you can catch the podcast posted approximately an hour after the live program. Thank you and good night.
Thank you for listening to this edition of TJ Slideways Live.